It is a long time ago. There was a very terrible thing that used to happen called a lilas dom, blood libel. In the churches, the galachim wanted to start trouble against the yidden, and the goyim would believe whatever they said. Whatever they would tell the goyim, they would think that it's true, because if they heard it in church, it must be true, because the galach said. And one of the things they told them was, before Pesach, the Jews get ready for Pesach, and they bake matzahs. What do they put in the matzahs? Now we know, who've been to the matzah bakery, or who've studied Shulchan Aruch, there's only two things allowed in matzah. Number one is flour that comes from wheat, and the other thing is water. Nothing else. Flour and water, that's a matzah. The galach said, in the Jewish matzahs for Pesach are three things: flour, water, and blood. And the goyim would say, blood? What kind of blood? And the galach would say, every year the Jews catch a Christian child, one of our children, and they take that child and they take out his blood and they put it in the matzahs in the matzah bakery, and that's what gives it the delicious flavor that the Jews like for Pesach. Now, of course, this was only a lie. We're not allowed, like we learned, to have any blood of any kind. We learned that. And of course, a blood from a person, and of course, this whole thing was an absolute lie. But the goyim would get all angry at Jews after that, and they would go out and make trouble against Jews because they believed the alilas dam. And especially in the time of the Maharal of Prague, the great tzaddik, the Maharal of Prague, a lot of these alilas dam happened, and the Jews had many, many tzaras from alilas dam. Now, Kimelach, even the night the Maharal was born, he saved his whole city from an alilas dam, as the story that I'm going to tell you. And when his father told the Maharal the story of the night he was born, the Maharal knew that he should, his whole life, be busy in helping other Jews against alilas dam and against any trouble that they could have. Because he felt this was a sign that even when he was born he saved this town, his whole life he should be busy in doing such a mitzvah to save Yidden from tzaras. And now I'm going to tell you the story of the night the Maharal was born, which was the night of Pesach. We go to the house of the Rav of Prague, Rabbi Tzalo, and his family, and he has Orchim, and his wife is sitting by the table, and his wife at that time was pregnant, she was expecting a baby, and the family is having a beautiful Seder, going through the Haggadah, and enjoying all the Divrei Torah, and of course having the cups of wine and the Suda and all the beautiful things that we do on Pesach. And they were doing it, of course, in a beautiful Yiddish way. And they didn't know that coming down the street while they were having their Seder was a very big danger for the Jews. There was a guy walking very, very quietly, looking all around, and he was carrying a bag on his shoulder. In that bag was a dead boy, a dead child, and the galachim had killed him in the church. They had kidnapped him, and nobody knew that this had happened except the galach and this man who was paid to do the job that I'm going to tell you now. And he was taking the child in the bag, and the Galach told him he should go to the Rav of the Jews' house, Reb Tzalel, and they're not going to know that he's there because they're busy at their Seder, it's the first night of Pesach. And he's going to go around the backyard, and he is going to open up one of the windows to the basement, and he is going to dump that bag into the basement. Now, the Goyim are going to find out that one of their children are missing, and they're going to get all upset and all angry that the child is missing, and right away they're going to blame the Jews, because they were told that every year the Jews catch a child of theirs and they use his blood for the matzahs. And they're going to make a big search with the police to find that dead child, and they're going to come into the Jewish neighborhood and search all the Jewish houses. And where are they going to find that child's body? Where? In the house of Reb Tzalel, in the basement. And it's going to look like he killed the child. And the Galachim will tell everybody, you see, it's true. The Rav himself had the child killed because the Rav is in charge of the matzah bakery. And he put the blood into the matzah bakery that the Jews should have it in their matzahs. And the Goyim would start a big, terrible riot. And they would do terrible things to the Jews. And the whole thing was only a plot, a bad plan to get the Jews in trouble and in Lilas Dam. And so Kimelach, the Goyim, was coming closer and closer to the house. And he just was coming towards the yard. And he was just coming to go into the yard, to go into the back. And all of a sudden, it was time in the Seder for the part called Shvei Chamascha. That's after the Suda, and after the third cup, and they pour out the cup for Eliyahu Navi, and they take the candles to the door, and they open up the door, and they say out to the street, Shvei Chamascha, as the door is open, holding the candles. Now, just as the Orchim are taking the candles to go to the door and open it, all of a sudden, Reb Tzalel's wife felt her stomach to give her a lot of pains, and she knew that she was about to have the baby. The baby was going to get born, like the mommy feels before the baby's going to get born. She feels these pains in her stomach called contractions, and she knows she better get to the doctor or to the hospital because the baby is coming soon. And she started having very strong contractions, and she told her husband, Tzalel, I think I'm going into labor. I think the baby is going to come. I feel it very strong. Now, in those days, the woman did not go to the hospital for a baby. They used to bring the doctor to the house, and she had the baby in the house. And just then, as they were opening the door, Reb Tzalel said to the Orchim, please, run to get the doctor. He's only a few blocks away, because my wife is in labor, and he should be here when she has the baby. And the Orchim right away ran out the door to get the doctor. Now this guy, first of all, he wasn't too smart. Second of all, he was very nervous because he was carrying this dead child on his back in a bag. All of a sudden, he saw the door opening, people holding candles, and a whole bunch of people running out the door right towards him, because he was standing right there in front of the house. He thought that the people were running out to chase him, and he got scared from the candles, and he got scared from all these men running out of the house. And really, they don't know he's there. They have no idea that he's there. All they're doing is running to get the doctor. But he thought in his mind that they're running after him, that they know he's there, and they're going to chase him and catch him. And he got afraid. He turned around with a bag on his back, and he starts running away. And he looks back, and they're chasing after him. Now, they're not chasing after him. They're running to get the doctor, but he's running down the street also because he thinks they're chasing him. So he's running down the street, and they're in back of him also running. And just then there was a policeman standing by the police corner, I mean, there was a policeman standing by the corner, and he was just doing his job at night, protecting the neighborhood and standing on the corner. And all of a sudden he sees a man with a big bag on his back running, and behind him, another five men running behind him. And the man with the bag looks back, and he starts to scream, "Ah!" And looks to the policeman, "Oh, look, the man with the bag. It must be that he robbed the house, and he's got all the things that he took in the bag, and the men that are chasing him to get the things back." And the policeman starts to run after the man with a bag on his back. As the policeman is chasing the five men that ran out of the house, they turn down the street to go to get the doctor, because they're not chasing after him at all. But by this time, the policeman was still, he was chasing after the man with a bag. The policeman was already chasing after him. Finally, the policeman caught the man with the bag. And the five men were long gone to get the doctor. And he says, "What's in that bag? You robbed the house, didn't you?"
"I didn't do it. I didn't do it. The guy left in the church, he told me to do it. I'll tell you, it wasn't my fault."
"What do you mean, the guy from the church? What are you talking about?"
"I didn't kill him. I didn't kill him."
"What do you mean? What are you talking about? You didn't rob the house? What are you talking about? Kill him." And the policeman opened up the bag and he found the dead child. And of course, he took the man to the police station. And the man was so afraid, he told the police everything about the Galach and the church and what they did. And the Galach was sent away to jail. And this man was also put into jail. And in the meantime, the doctor came to the house, and Rebbe Tzal's wife had a baby boy, and this was the Maharal. This later grew up to be the Maharal of Prague. Even the night he was born, by getting born at exactly the time he did, the Hashkacha practice was that through this, his whole city was saved from the terrible danger of Alilas Dam. And his father told him the story of what happened that night, because later on, they found out all the things that had happened with the police station and with the man. And when his son was old enough to understand, he told him the story. And the Maharal said that I have to figure out a way that my whole life I should help the Jewish people against Alilas Dam. Because these things would start, and these things would get very, very bad, and they kept happening many, many times. Besides other trouble that would happen that the goyim were making for the Yidden in the Jewish neighborhood, there was a lot of robberies. In the middle of the night, the goyim would climb in windows and steal things. And so when the Maharal got to be older, and he got to be a big Talmud Chochem and a big Tzaddik, one night he had an idea of a good way to protect all the Jews against the trouble that was happening. The Maharal called a Kohen and a Levi, and the Maharal himself was a Yisrael, and he said, "We're going to go down to the river. Do not tell anybody what you're going to see or what's going to happen. It has to be a secret." And the Kohen and the Levi and the Maharal went down to the river when it was very, very early in the morning, when the first light was beginning to go into the sky. And the Maharal went to the side of the river where the mud was. And he started to take handfuls of mud and make a pile of mud. And the Kohen and the Levi never saw such a thing, that a great tzaddik like the Maharal should have his hands in mud. And they said, "Rebbe, we'll help you. We don't want you to have to get your hands dirty in mud." The Maharal said, "Don't worry. This is something special for the Jewish people." And he shaped out of this mud a body that looked like the body of a person with a head and with arms and with a body and with legs and with feet. But it was just a golem. A golem means just a thing without life. Like a mud man. That's exactly what it was. A man made out of mud. And then the Maharal reached into his pocket and he took out what looked like a mezuzah, rolled up, a parchment. And on this parchment was written not the words of the mezuzah, but special words, special halakha words that only special people that know the secrets of the Torah know how to write these words and know what they mean. Certain names of the Eibishter and certain halakha names of Malachim and other things from Kabbalah. And the Maharal put this rolled up parchment into the mouth of the golem. And now they walked around the golem 7 times, saying a pasuk from Chumash that we learned in Bereishis, Vayipach b'apav nishmas chayim, that Hashem breathed into his nostrils a breath of life, and he became a nefesh chaya, a living person. And they said the pasuk 7 times, and they went around 7 times, and all of a sudden this golem started to sit up and started to move and became just like he was living. And the Maharal said to this golem, your name is going to be Yachl. You will only answer to me and do what I say. You will not listen to anyone else. You will only do what I tell you to do. And you are going to come with me back to my home. And you are just going to be like a person that I found who cannot speak, because the golem could not speak. Like a poor man who cannot speak, and you come to live in my home to be like a servant, to be like a helper. And nobody is going to know that you're a golem. Everybody will think that you're a simple person. Only the Kohen and the Levi that are with me know what's going on, but it's going to be a secret that they're going to keep, that nobody should know who you really are. And so they went back to the Maharal's house. And Yassel the golem, they just called him Yassel, came in. And the Maharal's wife thought that this is some poor man that the Maharal had met and who wants, he's going to help him out. And they gave him a place to sleep, a place to stay. And he would just do little jobs around the house and help and do things. But Kimalak at night, instead of sleeping in his bed, the Maharal had different plans for the golem. He said at night, you walk around the streets. If there's any trouble for Jews, you'll take care of that trouble and help Jews. And the golem nodded his head. He could not talk. He did not have the koyach of dibur. He did not have the power of speaking. And now the golem went out at night, very late, and started walking around. He just looked like a regular, plain man walking in the streets. But kenelach, the golem had special kliches that Hashem gave him. A few blocks away, while a family was sleeping, there was a guy, a ganav, climbing up a ladder in back of the house. And he was going up a window, to a window that was a little bit open. And he was preparing to rob the house, to take away the Yiddish things from the house, the leichter and the bechers. And he was going to take the money that was for tzedakah from the pushkes, and he was going to steal it from the Yiddish mishpacha as they were sleeping. And as he was climbing up the ladder, he was about to go into the window, all of a sudden, he felt a hand on his neck. And he turned around and he saw there was a man on the ladder. He'd never seen this man before, and the man was holding his neck and he was climbing down the ladder. And the guy said, "Get out of here! Let me go!" The golem was there, holding the man's neck, schlepping him down the ladder. And now he was on the ground, and he was walking with the man, holding him by his neck, and he was carrying him. And the man, the Ganav, took out a knife, and he says, "You don't let me go, I'll stick this knife into you." The golem said nothing, but he just kept walking, holding the man. And the man took the knife and he stuck it into the golem, and the golem kept right on walking, because no knife could kill him. And the golem started to hit him with his hands, and the golem kept on walking, and he started to kick him with his feet, and he started to bite him with his teeth, and the golem kept on walking until he got to the police station. He opened the door. He took the man and he threw him like a shmata across the room. The man went flying across the room and he smashed into the wall. And the police saw that this must be some kind of a robber that somebody's brought into the police station. They locked him up in jail. They looked around to see who brought him in. They didn't see anybody because the golem had left to go back into the streets. They never saw who threw him in there. He just locked him right up into jail. And a few blocks away, there was another ganav that was trying to do something. And the golem had a certain koyach that he knew exactly where the danger is. Even if it was a few blocks away, let's say, chas v'shalom, there's something happening right now on Empire Boulevard, the golem would be able to feel something is happening, and very fast he would run over there. Very fast, like the fastest car, he would run over there and he would just grab the ganav. He wouldn't let go. The ganav could do anything he wanted. He would never be able to hit the golem. And the golem would open up the door to the police station and he would throw him in like a shmata, like a bag of potatoes. And he would fly against the wall and the police would lock him up until there was no robberies and no trouble for Jews, because any time anybody tried to start up with a Jew, there was this man there grabbing his neck, taking him to the police station. And after a while, the golem was so afraid to start up the Jews, they were so afraid of that man that came out of nowhere. No matter what happened, the golem tries to start up, that man shows up in a second, and he grabs you and he takes you to the police station. There was no more trouble, and the Yidden went to bed at night and they felt safe, and nobody knew that this was actually a golem. They just thought it was some man that disappeared and nobody could find him, and nobody knew it was the golem. The whole time nobody knew that it was the golem until many years later, after the Marala died and after the golem was put away in the Shemus and the Shul, then people started to find out that the Maharal had made a golem. But during the lifetime of the Maharal, and during the time that the golem was working, nobody knew what was really happening. It was a secret. It was Erev Pesach, and the Maharal's wife was working to get ready for Pesach, scrubbing and cleaning and sweeping and dusting, and she was working so hard, like all the Yiddish women do, to get ready for Pesach. And she had an idea. Yassel Golem, Yassel, this man who is very quiet, he doesn't speak, but he does, you know, different things for her husband, for the Maharal. Sometimes he's just sitting there in the house, really doing nothing. Why can't she have him help her clean for Pesach? I mean, after all, he looks like a strong man, and she needs help. So she asked her husband, and she says, "Please, could Yassel help me clean for Pesach? And the job I would like him to do is to bring the water from the river and put it in the barrel in the kitchen. In those days, there wasn't a sink with a faucet that the water would come out automatically. You have to schlep it from the river or from a well. So near the house is a river, but still, to carry the heavy buckets of water and to fill up the big barrel in the house, either you have to pay the water carrier, or if you can't get the water carrier, you have to do it yourself. So why should they pay a water carrier, and why should the Maharal's wife do it herself if Yassel is sitting there doing nothing? And the Maharal thought it over, and he says, okay, we'll do it. But remember, he only listens to me. So I have to tell him to help you. If you talk to him, it's not going to do any good, because I have to tell him. If you remember, the Maharal said to the Goyim that he's only allowed to listen to the Maharal. But if the Maharal tells him to do what his wife says, so that's the Maharal telling him what to do, so he has to listen. So the Maharal went to Yesel Goyim, and he says, my wife needs you to clean for Pesach to help her. So what she says for you to do, you do. Now listen very closely. And then the Maharal left for the shul, and the Maharal's wife went to Yassel Goyim, and she said, Yassel, I really need you to get the water from the river, bring it in the buckets, and pour it into this barrel. Please do that. Pour the water from the river into this barrel and fill up the barrel. And Yassel nodded his head like this. And she gave him a bucket, and he went to the river, and she left him. She knew that all he's got to do is go and do what she said. And she starts to go out to the front room, and she's cleaning, and she's dusting, and she's scrubbing, and she's doing all kinds of things. After a while, a very strange thing happens. She sees on the floor behind her, she sees water. She said, that's funny. I didn't wash the floor. Why is it wet? She turns around and she sees that there's a big flood. The whole floor in the dining room is covered with water, and it's going down the hallway. It's going into the bedrooms. There's water that's coming out of the kitchen, and it looks like half the house is underwater. Where's all this water coming from? Where? What is this? A flood? What happened? She runs into the kitchen. She sees there's a flood in the kitchen, and she sees the barrel of water is up to the top, and Yassel Goyim is spilling in a bucket of water to the top. It's full, but he's pouring in another bucket. As he's pouring it in, the whole thing flows over onto the floor, and he goes back to the river and he brings another bucket of water and he spills it in. And she screams, stop! Stop filling the barrel! But he doesn't listen. He keeps going back and bringing more water, and he keeps filling it up, and it's splashing over, and it's making a flood. And she asks him, and she tells him to stop. It doesn't do any good. She ran screaming to the shul, to her husband, and she told him what happened. And he ran home laughing. And he says, I told Yassel to listen to you. What did you tell him? I told him to fill up the barrel. He says, but did you tell him to stop filling it up when it's full? He doesn't understand that you tell him to fill it up, but when it's full, he has to stop. He didn't tell him to stop, did you? No, I only told him to fill it up. Now you have to tell him to stop. I have to tell him to stop. So the Maharal told him to stop, and he stopped. Because he was only listening to her for that one thing. Fill up the barrel, but she didn't tell him when it's full, he has to stop. After that, he wouldn't listen to her anymore. Only when the Maharal said to stop, then he stopped. Now, in Prague is the name of the town, the city, the Maharal lived. And over there in Prague was the Yiddish neighborhood with the yeshivas and the shuls and the houses and the stores. And one of the stores on the main street was a wine store, and mashke, wine and mashke, and that store was owned by a very fine Yid named Reb Chaim Berger. And Reb Chaim Berger and his family worked in that wine store. Reb Chaim would work in there, and his sons would work in there, taking care of all the wine, and bringing boxes, and waiting on customers who come to buy. And also there was a girl, his daughter, named Razel. Razel was a nice Yiddish girl, a big girl, who was old enough even to have a chasana, to be a kolamedel. And after she finished learning at the girls' school, she would go help her father in the store, and she would be behind the counter if somebody wants to buy wine. So they would give her the money, and she would tell her brothers to bring the boxes of wine or the bottles of wine or the mashke. Or some customers sometimes wrote it down, and they would pay at the end of the month, and she wrote it down in the big book, and she kept the chashbonis. And this is the way the business went. And every day people would come in to buy wine or mashke. And not only Yidden would come in, but many times Goyim would come in, because they knew that Reb Chaim Berger, he had a brother named Reb Michel. Reb Chaim Berger's store was very, very good wine, the most delicious and best wine that you can buy in the whole city.